thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
It's another show. It's another classic. You're here with the Urban Sports Scene, Eyes Radio. Wally. I'm Wally. Here, my homeboy, Will T.
What's up?
Ray and Al couldn't make it. What's going on, Will T?
Not much, man. You know, just got finished watching the lottery. Wizards got the number 3 pick. It seemed close. I was hoping that they were going to get the number one pick, but you know, that's something we'll discuss later on.
Yeah, we will. It's a special Urban Sports Scene. It's a special draft lottery show on the Urban Sports Scene. Like I said, we're on Eyes Radio. You can check out our podcast at www.eyesradio.com. Other shows on there are Chris and Commission, Clutch Sports Radio. See, I remember this time. Clutch Sports Radio.
There you go. You're improving.
I am. They're going to air tomorrow. They usually air today, but they'll air tomorrow. Chris and the Commish usually air almost every day. Also, check out our homies on Voice of the Fan. They're on Matter. They're on live today, live Wednesday, 8:30. What time is it now?
8:42.
Yeah, so they're already airing at the moment. So, like I said, they air at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can check their podcast out at www.thevoiceofthefan.com. And also, our podcast is syndicated on Real People Real Talk Radio. That's www.realpeoplerealtalk.com. That site is managed by our good friends at Apple G's, which are Vivian and Coach Rodney.
What's going on, Vivian, people?
Will likes to call him the lovely Vivian. So I don't want to mess it up. Sorry, the lovely Vivian.
I mean, you call her whatever. You know, you doing the intro, so you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm kind of tired. You know, I played a basketball tournament. Those awesome.
Where did you play a basketball tournament at?
At work. It was the NIH 3-on-3 tournament, like Hoop It Up. Remember Hoop It Up back in the day?
Yeah, I do. So let me get this right. You, being a government worker, had a basketball tournament during work.
That is neither here nor there. I work overtime, so I deserve it. You know, I scored. We lost in the first round, which is the first time I ever lost in the first round. My first year, I got to the we got to the finals, lost. In a close game. Second year, got to the semis. This year is the first time I've ever been eliminated, so it's foreign to me. But I will say this. I did whatever I had to do to try to win that game. I scored 14 points.
So basically you're saying that you might have to take your talents to South Beach next year.
Oh, next year
all you can do.
I made my team. Yeah, I'm taking my talents elsewhere.
Okay.
I'm going to make my own team. You know what I mean? I'm going to get a big three. I can't keep losing. You know, where I dominate. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, who can score? I mean, I scored like 10 out of 14 points. We lost 22-14, but I mean, I was unbelievable. You know, left hand finish. I didn't have to shoot a jump shot. I went inside. I drove down the middle, spin off left. I'm right handed. You know what I mean? Like, I'm ambidextrous. You would think I'm Michael Beasley or something. I was mean out there, man.
Okay. Well, next year we'll have a decision show for you, and you can tell us who's going to be
on my team.
The two players on your team.
Yeah, that's good. We need to have a girl. My main thing is to get a girl who can hoop. This girl I had on my team was like shooting layups over the backboard. So, yeah.
Oh man, that's rough.
Believe me, man. I had to shake my head a couple times. I'm still trying to get over it. I'm not blown. We lost. Cause like I said, I did my part. People say there's not an I in team, but there is a me, and I.
There's an I in win.
Yeah, well, screw that. I was a me, all right, and I was all about me.
Okay.
And I tried to get people in ice to attend and get some popcorn ready. I feel like I disappointed them, even though, like I said, I did score 10 points.
Okay.
Yes. So get to our tradition.
The pregame, baby.
You know it, dog. Last week, we talked about Adam Jones being where he ranked among center fielders. A little bit after that, he signed a long-term deal with the Baltimore Orioles that's worth $88.5 million. Any thoughts about that?
First of all, congratulations to Adam Jones and getting your new contract. Second of all, I think this is something that the Orioles really needed because they haven't had even though Adam Jones didn't come up through their farm system.
Close enough, though.
Yeah, but it's close enough. He's a young player who's actually in his prime and is still ascending. And what looks like he'll be one of the top three players in his position at the center field position. So kudos to the Baltimore Orioles for making a good signing, and congratulations to Adam Jones, a friend of the show, on signing that new contract.
I want to add the same thing, same settlement that Will T just added. Adam Jones, congratulations. It was a contract, well-deserved contract that should have happened last year, but I'm glad you got it now. I think you pretty much forced the Orioles' hand to give you even more money to do the season you had this do the season that you are having at the moment. So I'm happy for you. Keep up the good play. A lot of players when they get a big deal, they start to slump, and you have been opposite of that. You have balled since you have signed that contract. Keep it up. Next on the agenda on the pregame, we talked about it's sad. We talked about Paul Williams last week fighting Canelo Alvarez, but over the weekend he got into a motorcycle accident and is now paralyzed from the waist down. I just want to know, is this going to be paralyzed permanently?
Yeah, his trainer George Peterson came out and made a statement Monday, Memorial Day, saying that as of now the doctors say that Paul Williams is paralyzed from the waist down. He's actually had a surgery today to stabilize the upper part of the part of his spinal cord that controls his upper extremities, so there won't be any possibility that he'll be paralyzed from the waist up. Also, very sad, you know, not just because he's a guy who I thought was going to be Canelo Alvarez and was going to totally turn his career around, be a career defining fight for him, but just to see a guy who's a good guy for all intent, from everything we know, to have this type of injury and it affect his life. Our prayers go out to him and his family. And we hope for him a speedy recovery, and we hope that one day he's able to walk.
That's again. My main thing. I hope he can be able to walk again. I mean, medicine these days and technology are so far above what it used to be back in the day with that guy with the Jets who was paralyzed way back in the day.
Chris Bird.
Yeah, I think it's Chris Bird. Yeah. So. I'm just hoping that he can be able to walk again. Screw boxing. It's not about that at the moment. It's all about his career. I mean, his livelihood. And I just hope he has the opportunity. When I mean livelihood, I mean not by money, but be able to be a healthy man walking and things of that sort. So I just hope the guy gets healthy. Now, I'm a fan of Paul Williams. I'm with Will. I thought he had a good chance to knock off Canelo Alvarez. Even though I have the utmost respect for Canelo Alvarez, but I think this is the fight that could have put Paul Williams back where he needed to be. I'm very upset, honestly, that you know this occurred. Do you know how it happened? Like what?
Well, evidently he was heading to Atlanta to be in his brother's wedding Sunday morning, and a guy who was in a car next to him was on the phone and swerved into his lane, and he tried to avoid the car. And he ended up driving up on the bank and doing 70 miles. And once he hit the bank, he flew up in the air and came down on his back and his head.
So I'm telling people, man, motorcycles are no joke. They're dangerous. I know a couple of folks who were trying to get a motorcycle license and wanted to ride a motorcycle. I'm just telling you, it was no joke. I'm not a big fan of it. I know it looks cool out there on the beltway or any major highway you're on, but you know, it could take one little tip off and something dangerous can happen to you.
Yeah, so if you out there riding your bike, be safe this summer. And also, people in the cars, man, respect the road and respect the bike.
And pay attention to what you're doing. Yeah. You know what I mean? I always try to be cognitive of what, and when I, if I hear a biker, I always try to be, you know, try to drive extra slow because you don't want to be the individual that causes a heinous accident. Anyways, move down to the pregame. Getting a little depressing. That's, you know, let's go something more uplifting or funny. Shaq has bowed out of the opportunity to be a GM of the Magic. I just want to know what kind of GM Shaq could actually be. Like,
I think it was funny, period, that he was even mentioned for an interview for the GM job for the Orlando Magic. The guy's been doing he had one season of being in studio analyst for TNT.
Yeah.
How would Shaq motivate players? Shaq, because we all know Shaq didn't defend the pick and roll when he played.
But he's only a GM, though. It's not what he's going to do?
Yeah, but how can he say, okay, how can he, you know?
Well, I want to see how he's going to, like, having Shaq as your GM, how does that help you with signing Dwight Howard?
It doesn't.
With the whole Superman moniker. No, though Al, who's, you know, like I said, who tends to be on the show at time to time, stated that Dwight Howard and Shaq aren't rival enemies like people think. They've texted each other a couple times during about Stan Van Gundy reports where they both were in agreement that Stan Van Gundy wasn't a good coach, but
I don't think Stan wasn't a good coach.
No. It's according to him, they didn't like his personality.
His personality.
I don't want to say
he rubbed
maybe
people the wrong way.
You know what I mean? So they were in agreement and they had some good chit chats about Stan Van Gundy. I don't know, like, what can Shaq do? Because, you know, to me, like, for the Orlando organization, I'm a fan of Shaq. I love Shaq, but he's done a lot of trouble for Orlando. He did a lot of bad things for Orlando, and when he left, ruined it, him and Penny Hardaway didn't, you know, they ruined that relationship. Left to go to L.A. So it
pretty much left them high and dry.
Yeah. So I don't know what by getting Shaq, like, what is that gonna really do? Is that is it like a feel good story having the guy you drafted?
I think it was just a feel good story, something to get media attention, get some people some laughs. I don't know how serious they were about bringing him in, but I'm glad that they didn't. He hasn't proven that he's capable of being a GM as of yet. He should have to earn his stripes like everyone else.
I'm not gonna lie. I would love to see the sound bites of Shaq as the GM. I'm a fan. I think Shaq would be entertaining. He'd be an entertaining GM.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
You know what I mean? The Big Aristotle. I wonder what nickname he'd give himself as a GM. Can you think of one?
The Big GM.
Oh, that's just corny. Oh, anyway, we're going commercial break. Optional transition. I like to read my outline. It's great. This is. I told you we're reality TV. We're reality radio, not reality TV. We're reality radio.
Absolutely.
We don't got horrors all over the show. Anyway, Shaq was once a lottery pick years ago. When we come back, we'll talk about the lottery pick. I mean, the lottery that just occurred, like, about what 15 minutes ago. And you know who's gonna get Anthony Davis? Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Eyes Radio.
You for did. Ages.
Thanks, I'm messing my thing.
For
Eyes
ages.
Radio.
For ages.
You can now hear the Eyes Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear the Eyes Radio Network, you have a chance to win some money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. Download it. It's free. Takes a few seconds. Then during registration, hit the promo code box and enter Eyes Radio, EYESRADIO, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of the show will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand. No syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. And don't forget to enter promo code Eyes Radio when you register.
What up, world? Did you miss me? Long time, huh? Stop crying. Hey, look.
You can listen to the show by visiting www.walio.podbean.com. That's our official website, not the Eyes Radio version. That's our official website. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. Also, you can catch us Thursday night on the Sports Crib podcast show. 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stiller Fan. The show is hosted by Doc Hancock and West Coast Stiller Fan.
All right, we're back. Like we said before we went to break, the NBA lottery just occurred about 15 minutes ago. For those of you who don't know, I'll give you the order.
14 is
from 14, working my way on the number
job,
one.
Sir.
14, Houston Rockets. Number 13, Phoenix Suns. Number 12, Milwaukee Bucks. Number 11 pick, Portland Trail Blazers. Number 10 pick, New Orleans. Number 9 pick, Detroit. Number 8 pick, Toronto. Number 7 pick, Golden State. And number 6 pick was the Nets, but it goes to Portland for compensation in the Gerald Wallace trade.
Yeah.
Number 5, Sacramento Kings. Number 4, Cleveland Cavaliers. Number 3, our Washington Wizards.
Woo-hoo!
Number 2, Charlotte Bobcats. And
yeah,
number 1, that leaves the New Orleans Hornets.
Conspiracy.
Let's get into the conspiracy part. As we all know, that New Orleans Hornets were recently sold to Tom Benson. The team had been owned by the league. David Stern was essentially in control, the owner.
Yeah.
Of the team, because we all know that he vetoed
the
commissioner of the NBA. He vetoed the original trade from Chris Paul to the Lakers and said, no, I don't want that, and sent him back and said, okay, we're going to do this trade with the Clippers. Twitter's already going to buzz. A lot of people have hit us up on Twitter and Facebook saying that conspiracy.
They have?
Yeah, they have.
I got to check this out. What the hell?
Conspiracy.
I don't know if they hit us out, but it was probably hitting. It's probably been tweeted every which way.
Yeah. Why people are saying it's a conspiracy? Because, like I said, Tom Benson recently just purchased the team, and a lot of people are saying, oh, David Stern might have thrown in and said, okay, I'll make sure you get the number one pick if you buy the team from the NBA.
Well, Chris Broussard said that when the during the pregame of the Heat versus Boston Celtics, that he doesn't believe that it's actually a conspiracy, but due to the fact what happened with Chris Paul, David Stern owning the Hornets.
Not only Chris Paul, but also Chauncey Billups.
Chauncey Billups and David Stern owning the Hornets. Excuse me, that it just puts an element of a conspiracy. Like you're just gonna now people are gonna assume that it's a conspiracy. Everybody always thinks it's a conspiracy anyway. You know when the lottery's out there, everybody always has like a.
Ever since the initial lottery when the Knicks won the lottery and drafted Patrick Ewing, a lot of people saying it was fixed. The card was bent, so he knew it was the New York card.
Or even like when Kwame Brown went to the Wizards that year, that people yelled out conspiracy because that was the first year Jordan was the president.
Yeah.
Then it was when LeBron left Cleveland, who got the number one pick with Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, and also when LeBron was drafted by Cleveland.
Was it Kyrie Irving? Sorry.
Yeah, they got Kyrie Irving.
When LeBron left, they got Kyrie. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then a lot of when LeBron was drafted by Cleveland, a lot of people said that David Stern fixed it so he could be his hometown.
See?
And he can uplift a small market team.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I've always thought David Stern was a weasel. He's a weasel to me. You know, I think he just loves Jordan too much, but that's just me. You know, I'm surprised. I'm actually surprised that Jordan didn't get the number one pick. I thought David Stern would not let his boy fail that way, even though he's a golfer and not a GM or owner, whatever Jordan is. What is Jordan? An owner?
Jordan's the owner.
He's the owner?
He's the owner.
A pathetic owner at that. See, even my phone buzzed but on that. Pathetic owner.
Well, anyway, we were having an interesting conversation off air about potentially the Wizards – getting Anthony Davis if he was the number one pick.
Yes, right.
What was your stance on that?
Well, I think it was a blessing in disguise that the Wizards didn't get Anthony Davis. But not because I don't think he's a talented player. I think, I think he would fail over. I think it'd be a big chance for him to be a bust in this area when you have on his team, not the area, on his team, because you already have Nene and you have Seraphin, who's bold. You need the Wizards actually need a three rather than a big. They have bigs who's performed, and you got Booker. So there's actually depth within their bigs.
Yeah, and don't forget they have Jan Vesely, the guy drafted number six.
And actually, they got like depth with their bigs.
Jan Vesely.
Actually, they got Booker.
Like
Seraphin.
I said, they drafted Jan Vesely
they got Booker,
last year.
Seraphin. They got Booker, Seraphin, and Nene. So they have depth. So in essence, like they really need a three. And it's just the same thing with the I mentioned the Minnesota Timberwolves when they got Derek Williams.
Yeah.
They didn't need Derek Williams, but because Derek Williams was going to be at the two spot, and the Minnesota Timberwolves were at the two spot, and Derek Williams was the second best overall player. They were forced to get him, so the Wizards would have been forced to get Davis, even though Davis is the better, but is the overall talented player. Best player in the draft, but it's a player they don't need. It's different. Like that's what I don't like about the NBA draft compared to like football. In the NFL, people get need, and in the NBA, people get off prospects or the word we like to use,
potential.
Exactly. So that's my issue with it. But all in all, I mean, I think it's a blessing in disguise that the Wizards did not get Anthony Davis.
All right. Okay. All right. This is how I look at it. To me, Anthony Davis is one of those players that can change a game. Single-handedly, and he on a defensive end, and those type of guys are rare. You have Dwight Howard, Serge Ibaka, Tim Duncan in his prime, Olajuwon, Patrick Ewing, those type of players that can defensively.
We're not talking about offense.
Yeah,
talking
about defense
right now. Offensively,
yeah, he's still raw, but he has that potential to grow into his offensive game. Just right now, day one, he can come in, block a lot of shots, alter a lot of shots. and rebound, and he can also score. He'll also get you double-digit points, and you don't really have to run any plays for him at this point. To me, I always say that Anthony Davis, his floor was Marcus Camby, but his ceiling, and this might sound a little strange to people, I actually think it's Kevin Garnett. It's his ceiling.
He's got ability, but go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah. Me personally, I think if the Wizards did get the number one pick, they should have drafted him. But also, it would have been a log jam just because, and this is a move that I told you when they made it at the trade deadline that I didn't necessarily agree with, bringing in Nene, not only because you drafted Jan Vesely, you had Kevin Serafin, you had Booker, you had Andre Blotch, who probably would be amnesty, but just because of his bloated contract, you're still on the books for, I think, another 5 years and like $60 million.
Mm-hmm.
If they had the opportunity to get Anthony Davis, what they want, I thought that they would probably amnesty Blotch and trade Nene if possible.
Well, this is my thing about Nene. I don't think it's Nene. It's probably Nene is what they expected. Nene is one of the best centers in the NBA. There's not a lot of great centers, so that says volumes. That speaks volumes. Well, not to Nene. Nene is a decent center, but he's one of the best centers in the NBA when healthy. To me, it's all about the log jam, period, is what it represents. Nothing. If Anthony Davis wasn't an option, Nene would be good. Put it like that. Nene would be great. He'd be good as is. It wouldn't be a bad trade. But Anthony Davis being an option on the team, I mean, to be on the team, the Wizards would have to, I agree with you, have to find a way for Anthony Davis to start. And I'm not sure if Anthony Davis was drafted by the Wizards, he would start off the bat because people like Nene and Serafin have played well while being Wizards. They have, actually. And Serafin has surprised everybody because no one really thought Serafin had this in him. And all of a sudden, you know, with hard work and determination, he has turned himself into a guy now you could think, okay, maybe he can be part of our future plans. And say Davis goes into camp and Serafin and Nene outplay him, then he won't get the opportunity to grow. It's like when Rasheed Wallace came to D.C., right? You had Juwan and you had Chris Webber. Rasheed would show you flashes, but you had Juwan and Chris Webber. So right. You had to get rid of Rasheed Wallace. That was a bad draft pick because you already had you had two power forwards. You had Juwan playing the three and you had Chris Webber playing the four. But you already had a logjam in that position, which would make it difficult for Rasheed Wallace to crack the lineup, who was probably, of ability alone, more talented than both of them offensively in the post. Webber was a better passer, but Rasheed Wallace could do it all as a post player, and he could step out and shoot threes. Now, they had to trade him to Portland, and you see what happened. That's all I'm saying. Like, you have to be careful what you draft. You know what I mean? You have to. The NBA, like, certain NBA teams don't draft on need. They draft on the word potential.
Yeah, perfect example. As we all know, the greatest player that ever played in the NBA.
Magic Johnson?
No.
Sorry, don't say that crap for my
Michael Jordan, who was drafted number three.
You're personally trying to annoy me.
I'm not.
Say Michael Jordan. Don't say the greatest player ever. Because I say Magic Johnson's the greatest player ever. Okay. We can have a discussion for years.
But for the sake of keeping this show rolling.
Yeah.
At number three, what was that, back in 85, 84, I'm not sure. The Portland Trailblazers already had Clyde Drexler. So they thought that they needed a center, so they drafted Sam Bowie, number one overall, and the Chicago Bulls, I guess, lucked out with a guy at the third pick, Michael Jordan.
Well, he was hurt. I mean, Sam Bowie, to his credit, just like what happened to Greg Oden, injuries had hampered his career to even blossom. So, yeah, I guess because Jordan wasn't I'm not saying Sam Bowie would be better than Jordan, so don't get that out of my mouth. But Clyde Drexler was one of the best two guards in the game. And he was exciting as well. So, Sam Bowie wasn't a bad pick, to be totally honest with you. But, you know, injuries kind of, you know, affect that. We off the air, we talked about Odom. Talking about how, you know, Durant. Like, Durant was a great player coming out of Texas, but you had Brandon Roy. And at that time, Brandon Roy, like, he was about to be top five players in the NBA.
Yeah, you also had LaMarcus Aldridge.
LaMarcus Aldridge was probably looked like he's going to be probably one of the best power forwards in the NBA. Still is like one of the best power forwards in the NBA. But I'm saying at that time, you can see it.
Yeah.
He was compared to, Rasheed Wallace. Then you was going to add in Odom, and you really didn't. At that time, no one really thought that, like, thought to themselves like they can need Odom for offense. He would just be a good defensive center, and eventually you would hope that he brought the offensive game to him. They compare him to Patrick Ewing. How Patrick Ewing in college was a sound defensive player. His offensive game, you would hope that it would turn out to be good, and that's what Patrick Ewing did. He made his offensive game thorough in the NBA. That's how people projected Greg Oden, thinking that maybe, you know, with time and with hard work, he can have a solid offensive game, because that defensive game was already there. So that's my thing. You know, it's certain situations kind of are cursed. You know, Sam Bowie was cursed. Like I said, you know, Jordan was the better player, and even if Sam Bowie was healthy, Jordan would still be the better player. But Sam Bowie might have been a good, solid NBA player that helped that team do special things if healthy.
True. Another example to me, well, a team that didn't take a guy that they needed rather than they wanted, the Atlanta Hawks. Look at Marvin Williams. They had the opportunity to draft Chris Paul, but they chose to take Marvin Williams because a lot of people said that he had more upside, which ultimately we see how that panned out for him. You know, the Atlanta Hawks are still looking for that point guard. I think they got him, though.
Teague's a beast.
His first step is killing.
No, Teague's a beast. He can shoot. What they need to do with Teague's, they need to let him go. What I mean let him go, they need to take the handcuffs off and let him go.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like because they have Joe Johnson, who's an ISO player, Josh Smith doesn't know his game yet. I don't care if he went to the All-Star game. He really doesn't know his game. Still tries to shoot threes. And he likes to kind of, create and dribble the ball all the time. They need to give Jeff Teague the ball and say, Teague, go. Like, you run this team. You got to – like how you got Chris Paul running the team, mm-hmm. and how he's running for all his career, or Darren Williams. Teague, here's the ball. Create offense.
All right, but speaking of guys that can create offense and the best fit, best way to play on their team, the Wizards. Yeah. Number 3 overall pick. We all know that Anthony Davis is going number 1 to New Orleans. Number 2, who knows what the Charlotte Bobcats are going to do.
Oh, they're going to probably – I'm looking at this mock draft, and the second best player they have in the draft is Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Can't see them going after him because it kind of reminds me of Gerald Wallace.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people say, that Kidd-Gilchrist is the second best player in this draft. I personally don't agree.
I think he's the most hardworking player in
the
draft.
I think, like, if you're trying to establish a hardworking culture within your team, if you're a lottery team and you're trying to establish a hardworking culture, that Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is one of those players can help you establish that culture, because he has a high motor, gives you everything for every minute that he's on the floor.
The reason why I think, like, I might even lean towards Gilchrist, but I'm going to say Gilchrist is going to be a Wizard, but the way I can say that Jordan might get him is because he'll bring a certain level of hard work to that Charlotte Bobcat team, and honestly to me, a level of a winning attitude, because I feel like hard work is a winning attitude. He's such a hard worker. He can bring that into the Bobcats. But they did have a guy in Crash who was a similar player. So I guess I'm starting to lean into going down. And I don't like this guy, but a lot of people like him. Drummond for UConn. If you want Anthony Davis, second best big, I guess, in the draft, in terms of lottery pick, is Drummond.
Yeah, he has that dreaded P word potential.
Oh, he's Kwame Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, he's gonna get,
yeah, a lot of people saying
he's Kwame Brown.
A lot of people saying he could either be Kwame Brown
Or Dwight Howard.
That's a very big
margin.
That's a
big margin. And this is my thing. If he was Dwight Howard with UConn, when they struggled, and he played at UConn, I watched him play at UConn. I was not impressed.
Yeah, to me, he had that Perry Jones effect. He often just got lost.
Perry Jones
is
way better than that bum.
No, I mean,
I know you're talking about.
That, like, that effect, he just gets lost in the game sometimes. You just be like, this guy's a star player. What is he doing? Why isn't he demanding the ball, saying, get me the ball? I say maybe possible. But no, Charlotte already has a player. I was going to say Thomas Robinson. He's a hardworking guy who's
That's
gotten better.
That's not a bad one. That's not
yeah,
a bad
he's
one.
A hardworking guy who's gotten better from last year to this year.
That's not a bad one. I know what? I might go with Thomas Robinson. My only problem with Thomas Robinson is that, can he play the 4 in the NBA?
Yeah, you got a point.
Can he play?
Well, he's 6'10", right?
Nah, it's like 6'8", for real. So can he play the 4 in the NBA? Is he versatile enough to do good things at the 4 position in the NBA?
Or maybe Michael Jordan decides to stay within in the North Carolina City Limits and draft Harrison Barnes.
See, all right.
Maybe Michael Jordan, because Harrison Barnes said that he idolized Michael Jordan. Yeah. Maybe Michael Jordan can light a fire under Harrison Barnes and get him to be that player that everyone saw him being when he came out of high school, the number one player
of all. I'm going to be real. Harrison Barnes is probably the second most talented player in his draft.
I'll go with that.
And and he's moving up in the draft board too. To be honest with you, if they get him, I think if Jordan got him, I think he'd be successful and it would be a successful draft. I think he'll get chastised for getting him early though, because he's projected at the fifth spot or below, fifth or sixth, I think. But if he got him at two, I wouldn't be mad at it. I think the best pick for the Wizards would be Harrison Barnes, honestly.
Actually, that's where we disagree. I actually think the best player for them might be Brandon Beal. And here's why. Brandon Beal will play the number two, will be the two guard. A lot of times in this league, there are a lot of two guards who need to dominate the ball. The Wizards already have a guy who dominates the ball in John Wall. Brandon Beal's a guy who can score off of picks. Doesn't need to pound the ball for 10 to 16 seconds, take 10 to 16 seconds off the shot clock to get a shot up. I just think Brandon Beal, with what they have now, is probably a better fit for him.
The reason why I disagree is because Harrison Barnes does everything you just said. Does not pound the ball. He doesn't need to dribble the ball. Doesn't need to do ISOs at all. He can spot and shoot. John Wall can set him up, and it's a position of need. You don't have to. You already have a two guard, regardless of what your opinion might be of him. You already have a two guard, Jordan Crawford.
And you mean the black hole?
Yeah, but you can get Harrison Barnes, who's a better overall player, supposedly, with ability, and he doesn't have to hold the ball. If you looked at how he played with Marshall in North Carolina, they didn't run the ISO plays. Marshall set him up, made it easy for him to score. You can do the same thing with John Wall. John Wall has the ball, and he can set him up.
All right, so I think we both agree that number one, Anthony Davis, is going to go overall. Going to go number one overall. Number two, for Charlotte, you said Anthony Drummond.
I think it'll be Drummond.
I think it'll be Thomas Robinson.
That's not a bad pick.
Number three for the Wizards, you say?
I'm going to go with Kid Gilchrist.
I'm going to go with Brandon Beal. Number four, Cleveland. Who do you think?
For Cleveland. Whew, it's a hard one. Actually, it'll be a swing player. I think they'll get Bill.
Cleveland will go at number four?
Yeah.
I actually think this is where Michael Kidd Gilchrist will go.
Okay.
I think he'll go number four. And
didn't they play in high school together? Kidd Gilchrist and Kyrie Irving?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. That's not a bad pick. Go ahead.
And rounding out the top five, Sacramento, you have?
Sacramento? Ooh, that's a terrible organization to go to.
Remember, they drafted Jimmy Fredette last year.
Which was dumb.
They already have Tyreek Irving,
so that means
Evans, and they have DeMarcus Cousins.
They like Isaiah Thomas, too.
Yeah, they like Isaiah Thomas. So they're pretty much set at the one and the two position.
What do they need? That's a good question. I'm going to go with, I said Drummond already, right?
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? That's a hard one. This is actually a hard one. I think the kid from Weber State.
The point guard?
Yeah. Weber State.
That'll be an allotment of guards.
I don't think they'll probably want, what's the name, I think Isaiah Thomas played at a high level. I think they'll probably want some depth in that position. Maybe they can compete with Isaiah Thomas and the kid from Weber State, and they can compete. Even though I do think, I think Jimmy Fredette's a two. He's not a one, so he needs to stop doing that.
Yeah. Number five.
It's hard, isn't it?
It is.
Because the black hole is terrible. I'm sorry. It's
a terrible organization. Yeah. That might be one of
those. Are these the ones who predict them? These ones actually think would be good fits for them. That's all. I guess that's the question.
I guess good fit. Good fit. More of a prediction.
Because it's a good fit. Sacramento, there's nobody that's going to fit that team.
Jeez.
They need to trade. They need to get rid of that idiot.
I would say, I don't think I went with Anthony Drummond yet.
You need to write this down.
Yeah, I know. our memories are terrible.
Yeah, because I don't think you said, you didn't say Drummond.
Yeah, I think Drummond would be a good, alongside a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, who's very ineffective defensively in the post. In the post offensively, the guy's very talented, scores a lot of points with his back to the bucket, wide body. But I think Drummond is probably a best fit at number five for Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, I think Drummond's the best fit. I'm not going to lie to you, because they don't have a five. You know, I do like the kid from I like Thompson, but they don't utilize him correctly.
Jason Thompson?
Yeah, I like Thompson.
Yeah, I like him, too.
I don't think they utilize him correctly.
Yeah, they don't utilize him at all, man. It's a shame. He's a very talented guy. So, he, you know, if they used him correctly, he would be an ideal fit.
So, what else we at?
With the lottery,
where we at?
I think we're
just in the five.
Yeah, we're just gonna do the top five, man. You want to go on?
I'm an honorable mention, man. Zeller, wherever Zeller goes, he's gonna be a lottery pick. That's a steal. Zeller from North Carolina is going to be one of the best post players. Chance for rookie of the year. Zeller has a chance for rookie of the year. Honestly, Zeller is more offensively gifted than Anthony Davis. He can shoot from both hands. I have the biggest amount of respect for Zeller out of Carolina. Henson too.
Well, I guess if I had to pick for number six, the Nets originally had to pick, but they had to give it up to Portland.
Oh, don't you feel bad? Oh yeah, and also New Orleans, you went out big. You have two lottery picks.
You have two top 10 picks.
Yeah, if you don't give back the respectability, it's an issue.
A very big issue.
It's an issue.
You can trade Chris Kaman and get some assets from trading Chris Kaman.
Yeah, you can. This is my thing. Anthony Davis could play the four. And you can keep Chris Kaman. And he can play the five. That way you don't have to rush him. You already have a post player.
Emeka Okafor, is he still in
the
world?
He's Nigerian. Yeah, I know. All right. I love my Nigerian people. He's not a good post. You already have a shot blocker now, Anthony Davis. Yeah. So why do you need Emeka?
I don't think you'll be able to move Emeka Okafor's contract, though.
Chris Kaman has a good contract, too. Kaman's deal is pretty lofty, too.
But I think more people will be, just because
Chris Kaman. More people will be inclined to get Chris Kaman, I agree with you. But I think for them, and not to put pressure on the rookie, Chris Kaman to stay would be an ideal situation for him.
But if I had to pick, for the sake of just keeping this conversation going.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep the conversation going, Will, too.
At number six for Portland, I actually think that's the spot where Austin Rivers might go.
Austin Rivers, that's a guy we haven't discussed. Now, Austin Rivers might be a good place for Sacramento. But will they take him, though? Will they go harder to take him?
I'm not saying that their skill set is the same. Don't get in an uproar.
I will.
But to me, Jimmer Fredette does some of the same things that Austin Rivers does.
Oh, not the same
point
at all.
No, I mean, just because the both of them are step-back jump shooters. Austin Rivers.
I want to see where this is going.
No, Austin Rivers is a better ISO player.
Way better.
But both of them are kind of combo guards at this point.
Yeah, they're both combo guards. Austin Rivers to me is still at this point is more of a point guard than Jimmer. I think Jimmer is still more of a he's more of a jump shooter. Like he's a shooting guard jump shooter. Austin Rivers is a driver. There's not a lot of guys I feel like in the NBA or even. Well, we saw in college and even in the NBA, they can stay in front of Austin Rivers, which means that he's going to put a lot of pressure on your defense consistently. Coach K, unfortunately, with his system, didn't allow Austin Rivers to be Austin Rivers.
Yeah, he didn't allow him to create one-on-one.
Yeah.
To me, if Austin – here's another guy who's already in the NBA, Stephen Curry. If him and Austin Rivers can improve their point guard skills, guys
Stephen
would be –
Curry's offense, point guard skills are decent.
No, I'm saying if become more of a better passer.
I'll let you continue.
Hold a on. Better pass. No, be a better. Both of them can create off the dribble and put pressure on the defense.
Yeah, I'll let you.
But become better passers.
Steph is a decent passer. It's just the problem with Stephen Curry. His name is Monte Ellis, and he's gone. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we'll see.
That's
we'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, Boston is good. Yeah, real Boston. Quick, before we probably go to break soon, but Boston's up 32-21. Heart of a champion. They're in Miami. I look forward to seeing LeBron go on a run and try to shorten this game. But yeah. It looks like Boston brought their A game in game two.
Yeah, I don't think anyone doubted that. Well, we'll talk about this game more when we come back after the commercial break. But if you ask me, I pretty much game one was a wash for Boston just because they had that long 7-game series with Philadelphia. I really didn't expect them. Well, the game, it was close up in the halftime. Yeah, but I didn't expect Boston to win that first game. I expected them to win this game right here. But we'll discuss it more when we come back from commercial break. Boston's up 32-21, second quarter, 9 minutes, 38 seconds left.
Urban Sports and Eyes Radio.
For ages.
You dig?
The Eyes Radio Network is one of the fastest-growing sports networks in the Washington, D.C. area, with great shows like Chris and the Commish and the Urban Sports Scene, plus media and athlete interviews and other content. You will get all the great sports coverage for the DMV and whatever's happening around the nation. Eyes Radio is built on listening on your time, whether it's listening to one of our shows live, downloading from iTunes, the Stitcher Radio app, or just on the website. We make it easy for you to listen to us when you want. Always let people know that you're listening to your favorite show on www.eyesradio.com. That's www.eyesradio.com. And follow us on Twitter at Eyes Radio.
Make sure you listen to us on Apple G's radio show on Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. Apple G's is spelled APOGEEZS. The show is hosted by Coach Roddy and the lovely Vivian.
Yeah, Vivian, we love you. Hopefully we can be on the show Sunday to bring our views to your show. Right now, the Heat are down 34-21. I was surprised. I wasn't surprised. I thought, like just like you, that what you mentioned earlier before the break, that Miami would dominate Game One due to the fact that hard fought series with the Sixers. For the Celtics. What did you think? What are you seeing now, or what did you think before seeing this that put your mind to say, all right, the Celtics can compete with the Heat for Game Two? Or what do you think they need to do that?
This Celtics team is defending way better. More movement on offense. Defensively, they're hitting the boards. They're also getting back in transition, which was key. Everyone saw that long lob pass that Dwayne Wade threw over the top during Game One to LeBron James, and there were four Celtics just jogging back. So you could tell the Celtics were very tired defensively and getting back. But you know, there's still a lot of time left in this game. Boston's up 12, second quarter, but I just think that this Boston team, they look refreshed, they look far more hungry. And they're coming to prove a point to say, hey, we're going to take this back to Boston tied up 1-1. And you got to be able to win a game in Boston.
Real quick, Mario Chalmers is an idiot. You just hit a big three and you're going to talk trash right by the referee to Dooley, who's not even doing anything. And now that you just basically shaved off a three, in essence, it was a 2-point shot. What an idiot. Man. But to me, you know, as simple as this, man. They're hitting shots. They're making shots. You know, we see Boston go on lulls where they don't score in particular quarters, but right now at the beginning, they're making shots. And I feel, you know, I think in game two, game one, Ray Allen couldn't make a shot due to the fact that ankle. He couldn't get in that rhythm. Ray Allen's making shots. Doc Rivers is one of the best coaches. And I haven't seen it yet, but I look for them to give the ball to KG more on the block. That is a mismatch that the Heat don't have no answer for. They have no answer for KG in the block.
And I said one of the keys for Miami to be able to win this series would be they would have to get 10 points at least from two of their major role players, being Shane Battier, Mike Miller, whether it's Udonis Haslem or Mario Chalmers. Those guys look to be struggling so far during the game.
Shane Battier hit a big three not too long ago.
Yeah. Boston is really closing out on these passing
lanes.
They're
playing defense. And Doc Rivers said this after game one. He felt that his team could play way better defense compared to what I mean, way better defense than what they performed in game one, and they're doing that right now. They're jumping out for everything. They're rebounding. They're blocking shots. I feel like, you know, Doc Rivers, his adjustments are just are crazy, and he's known to do it. Like I said, he's one of the best coaches in the NBA, and he deserves a lot of respect on what he's doing. Like I said, I still expect LeBron James to get on the road when he gets back in the game. Right now, he's on the bench. But this game is – I'm surprised the Boston – actually, I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised the Boston's putting this much effort. And I think they know that if they don't win this game, the series is over. I'm going to let you yawn real quick.
Oh, my
you
bad. I'm going to say wrap it up. I was going to say extend the conversation while I got my yawn out.
I feel you. I had nothing to say.
I think this is a key game for Boston. They have to take – they have to get this game. Like I said, it's still yet to be proven if – this Miami Heat team could close it out particularly strong against the Celtics team, just because everything that's been going on with LeBron James in each playoff series he's ever played in, except for last year.
What you mean, like, each playoff series?
I mean, mentally, you know, if they, you know, of course they were down 2-1 against the Pacers and they came back. But there's always going to be that talk of, can LeBron close it out,
that, and the third. What did LeBron do in Cleveland? He was closing out series in Cleveland.
He was closing them out in Cleveland, but, you know, there's a lot of talk just because, you know, he's in Miami, he'll defer to Dwayne Wade.
Man, LeBron has been they've created the Cleveland Bron in Miami right now. This is the LeBron that I'm used to seeing. Not that LeBron, oh, here's Dwayne, he has the ball, you create. No, LeBron is the playmaker and Dwayne Wade is the one off the ball. But to another topic, you've seen how LeBron and D Wade have coexisted without Chris Bosh. Do you think if Chris Bosh gets healthy just a tad bit, or gets close to being in playing condition, do you think he's even playing this series?
No, because you're going to need him against in the finals.
So you're saying that the Miami Heat are going to win? They're going to win this series. Is that what you're telling me?
I think they are.
All right.
I think it's going to be 6 very hard fought games, but I think Miami will close it out at 6.
Uh-huh.
Oh, we agree on something.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be 6-7 series. I never said that Miami would
sweep
walk,
or go 5.
I don't believe in that. Boston's too good of a team.
Yeah, they're too good of a team, too well coached, too much veteran leadership and too much heart. But you gotta rest Bosch just because they had a domino injury and it's looking like that they'll be going against the San Antonio Spurs in the championship, but that's still yet to be seen. Like I said,
they held serve.
Huh?
They held.
Yeah.
That's all they did.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say this, and I've always stated this, and I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. It's easy. It'll be easier for OKC to take one to San Antonio than San Antonio taking one to OKC. And I'm not that doesn't mean San Antonio can't win the series. They can win all their games at home. I'm just saying, if you want me to choose which venue a team can go out there and get a W, I gotta see that anyway. I gotta see the Dream Team special on
NBA
TV. Gotta see it. But it'll be easier for OKC to, you know, to go into San Antonio and getting a W. That's just my opinion, though.
Yeah, I still don't think that series is over. Nowhere near over, not by far. But it'll be interesting to see how that one wraps up. LeBron and Wade, everyone is saying that this is the best that any two combo has played in the playoffs. That's a bold statement, because you got to look at it. Jordan and Pippen. I know you hate.
Go ahead, man.
Yeah, Jordan and Pippen. You got dynamic duos.
Allen Iverson and George Lynch.
Yeah. Magic and Kareem. Magic and Worthy.
Just magic.
Isaiah and Joe Dumars.
Yeah, Isaiah and Joe D was special, because that was actually cold scores.
Drexler and Olajuwon.
That was good. That was a good one. Shaq and Kobe.
Everyone is saying, and statistically, no two guys have ever averaged like 32 points during a playoff series, like Wade and LeBron. They're going to have to keep that up if they want to make it to the championship, to the NBA Finals.
I think LeBron, I don't think have to keep it. I mean, everybody's overblowing it. They make it sound as if, like, they're going to have to score like 30 apiece. They don't have to score 30 apiece. And to be honest with you, LeBron can go for 30 and Wade can go for 50. There's no way they're gonna stop LeBron and D Wade from going from going at like 15 points apiece. So in essence, to be totally honest with you, in essence, they will score about 50 because LeBron and D-Wade. You're not going to stop D-Wade from scoring 20. And you're not going to stop LeBron from scoring 20 himself. So you got 40. LeBron's probably going to get 25-30. D-Wade can get 25-30. So really, it's not about stopping LeBron. It's all about stopping the role players, not letting them get off.
True.
Real with you.
True.
Because you're not going to stop those two players.
Rondo was finishing with that jump shot.
Yeah, Rondo is his shot. He's shooting better. You know, I've become a Rajon Rondo fan.
18 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds already.
This is the type of game. This is the type of game he gets a triple double though. It's a big
absolutely
game they need. This type
absolutely
of game he gets a triple double.
Definitely gets it. That's a good call by you.
Yeah, you know. So I mean, this is the type of game I have big respect for Rajon Rondo after I hated him so much.
And Flip Saunders, former Washington Wizards coach.
He's a Celtics advisor.
Yeah. Flip said, I got my check.
When you leave D.C., you go into winning situations. JaVale yeah McKee,
Nick Young,
Flip Saunders, winning. Now, it's about that time, Will T.
Time for what?
We about to go hard in the paint.
Drop the music.
It's going to be hard, Max. It's going to be a special. It's going to be hard in the paint for this series. So I'm going to like to pick a special player if you want to, you know, period. I'm going to go with King James to go hard in the paint in the series. I know it's obvious. I don't care. I can choose the obvious person. Like I said, King James is starting to exercise some demons about people saying that he can't do it in big games. He's gonna take out the Boston Celtics in this game and keep adding on to his resume this season about how he's taken over the Miami Heat and become the star in Miami.
All right. Since I'm going to go with a Celtics player, I want to go with Rajon Rondo, the guy who we both agree is going to most likely get a triple-double this game.
Yeah, he gets triple-double, he'll probably they'll win this game.
Yeah, he'll keep that strong play. They'll need him to keep that strong play up, rather, during the whole series just for them to get this game to the 6 games that we both think it'll go to.
I agree with you. Good job.
Thanks,
hard to paint.
Yeah, hard to paint, baby.
Yes, sir. Anything you want to add? Oh, yeah, I know I want to add. Did you get a chance to go to see the public show? The public, what is it? Chuck Brown at the Howard Theater?
No, I sure didn't.
Yeah, public viewing. I might get a chance to. I kind of wanted to, but the rain yesterday was terrible. It was atrocious. Stop honking your horn. You're blowing me. Sorry, yeah, people. We record from my apartment. And I hear it
in the studio, man. We're in the
it's
studio.
My apartment. It's I can't stand the horns being honked. It's annoying. Just trying to relax, watch the game, do a podcast. These little ignorant effers want to mess with me. I don't know why, Will. I want to smack them all.
I don't
smack
know either,
them,
man.
Put powder on my hands, baby powder. Go downstairs and start to smack it. That's all I'm saying. It's real talk. Show is over because I'm rambling, as you can tell. So
another week, 107?
Yeah, 107.
Yeah.
So let me do some end-off info. You can check us out on the Eyes Radio Network. That's www.eyesradio.com. You can listen to our show on our website at www.walio.podbeam.com. And we're on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Team. And again, if any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com.
All right, man. Another week. Another show.
Another dollar.
Next week. Yep. Next week we'll be back. We'll be discussing Washington Redskins, who had another week of another session of OTAs.
We talking about the Redskins, really? Do we need to?
It's your team.
Is there anything? I know I do make the outlines and stuff, and I usually put my Redskins on there.
Yeah, you know, you're very Redskins heavy.
I am. I'm a big Redskins fan. I'm a diehard Redskins fan, if you all didn't know that.
Next week we'll discuss Redskins. We'll discuss more NBA playoffs.
Some baseball?
Some baseball.
Maybe we have everybody else back.
Yeah, hopefully everyone, the rest of those bums will be back on the show.
Yeah, selfish mother suckers.
Dedication, hard work.
Dedication, hard work.
Dedication,
hard work.
Dedication,
hard work.
Dedication.
We out, bitches.